It is my great privilege to be with you again after my graduation. I'm really excited to preach the God's word. First, I would like to thank Pastor Sammy Williams, sir, and to the church for giving me a blessed opportunity. Thank you, everyone. Have you ever thought that every minute that you are going to face, it's an opportunity from God? Every Christian, every moment by moment, should grow in Christ-likeness as time passes in your life. Every year, every month, every week, and every day, and every hour, and each and every minute that you are facing it, there are many people in the world, those who are not facing it, but you are facing. Do you understand the God's grace and the God's plan in your life? God has given you opportunities so that you may grow moment by moment in Christ-likeness. Are you using that opportunity? Are you growing in Christ-likeness? You may ask me, how I need to grow in Christ-likeness? Let me tell you the answer. When you live a spirit-filled life, that will help you to grow in Christ-likeness. This sermon will help you to live a spirit-filled life that will help you to grow in Christ-likeness. Please turn with me to the book of Ephesians. Book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 18 to 21. The book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 18 to 21. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melodies with your heart to the Lord. Always give thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. I see the theme of this passage is live a spirit-filled life, because that builds you in Christ-likeness. Live a spirit-filled life because that builds you in Christ-likeness. Look at verse 18. When you see the book of Ephesians, the city of Ephesians is filled with the idol worshippers. The famous temple, the pagan gods, Diana temple is there in Ephesians. That is one of the seven wonders of the ancient world on those days. So from the different countries, they used to come to the city of Ephesians. They will do the pagan worship over there. They think that being drunk with the wine, they will have the relationship with the pagan gods. They will build their relationship with the pagan gods. So that's why the people at Ephesus, they used to drink with the wine so that they may build relationship with gods. And also, sometimes they used to warmth so that they may drink more wine so they may have more worship. So that's why they are committing a lot of sins and they are doing illegal business over there. So that's why the people at Ephesus, the Paul is commanding them to do that. Be filled with the Spirit. It's not a suggestion. It's not a option, but it's a command. It's commanding, be filled with the Spirit. And also be filled with the Spirit. It's a continuous action. Every Christian should be always filled with the Spirit. Always filled with the Spirit in the sense, you need to be always being under control by the Spirit. And we cannot fill ourselves. It's impossible for us. But God only help you to live a spirit-filled life. So, here is saying that, if you drunk with the wine, that will lead you to the sin. That will lead you to in the disorder life, but when you spirit, when you fill with the Spirit, that will lead you to, that will help you to grow in Christ likeness. So that's why here we can see that he mentioned that. And also, when you fill with the Spirit, there are four evidences that we can see in the Spirit-filled life. He mentioned verse 19 to 21, we can see some evidences of Spirit-filled life. That is, speaking to one another, and also singing and making melodies, and giving thanks, and subject to one another. These all the evidences will come when you fill with the Spirit. And these all will help you to build your relationship with God, and these all will help you to grow in Christ-likeness. That's why I see the theme of this passage is live a Spirit-filled life that will help you, that will help you to grow in Christ-likeness. Here's the four marks of Spirit-filled life. Four marks of Spirit-filled life. First mark of Spirit-filled life is encouraging one another. Encouraging one another. Look at verse 19. Verse 19, we can see here, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. This kind of speaking will help others to, it will encourage others to grow in Christ-likeness. In speaking in what? In speaking in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. This will help a person, a believer, to build his character in Christ. And also, this kind of speaking will encourage one another. This encouraging, speaking to one another, is a context of church. So it's like a congregational singing. Congregational singing will help. And when we sing congregational singing, we'll be filled with the Spirit. We're being under control by the Spirit. You may ask me the one question. Many times you mentioned be filled with the Spirit, be filled with the Spirit. What does it mean by being filled with the Spirit? There is a lot of confusion on this topic, being filled with the Spirit. Some will think that being filled with the Spirit, speaking in tongues and singing loud and falling down on the floor. And if we don't do that, they will think that this fellow don't have the Spirit. So this filled with the Spirit is doesn't mean by doing like this. And some will think that when we are get seniority in Christianity, we'll be filled with the Spirit. Some will think like that. And also some will misunderstand this issue with the indwelling of the Spirit and the Spirit baptism. There is a difference between the indwelling of the Spirit and also filled with the Spirit. The indwelling of the Spirit, it's a one-time event that will happen when we got saved. That is the one-time event. When we accept Jesus Christ, it will come with the fullness. It will come with the fullness. It will stay. It will indwell in our heart, in the believer's heart. It's filling with the Spirit is a continuous action. It will be continuously, every moment by moment, it will happen. So it's a continuous action, and it will up to our death. We need to be do like that. We will be filled with the Spirit. So there is a difference between the indwelling of the Spirit and the filled with the Spirit. This filled with the Spirit, it's mean by being under control of the Word. Let the Word influence our life. So, when I say filled with the Spirit, this is the meaning of it. So, here we can see that the Psalms and the hymns and the spiritual songs, it's a part of congregational singing in a believer's life, according to the verse 19. The similar passage we can see in Colossians, as brother read, Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. We can see, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your heart to God. Here the same thought that we can see in Colossians chapter 3 verse 16 also. There we can see in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 19 we can see that filled with the Spirit. Here we can see that let the word of Christ richly dwells within you. Same thought. Filled with the Spirit means let the word richly dwells in us. How we can know that? The same result. The same results here also mentioned. Wisdom, same results, see? With the psalms and the hymns and spiritual songs, singing and thanksgiving in your heart to God. It will produce the same result. So, the two statements are similar and the same, speaking about the same thing. What this psalm and also hymns and spiritual songs, it sounds like same, but there is a small difference between these terms. Psalms we can see in the Old Testament, and they will much more focus on the theology and the history. In the church history they used to sing psalms. Hymns, there is a small difference. The hymns will focus on will exalt God and the focus on His glory. And also it's focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. Spiritual songs, it's focused on what Christ has done in your life. And it's personal, it's so personal. It's your personal testimony. So there is a small difference between these terms. But these three will help in a congregation to admonish, to encourage one another, to build others, to build ourselves in Christ-likeness every day. One of the neglected time in the many churches today is time of singing. Many churches will encourage, will come for the just to hear the music, but not to the songs. And they will not focus on the songs. They will focus on this extra, on something else for like music and the traditions. But the songs, it helps a lot of things in our Christian life. It exhorts, it encourages others. It does a lot. When I was here in the seminary, I used to yearly waiting for the Sundays to hear the Christ-centered songs and to hear the beautiful music in the Cornerstone Church. I really enjoyed the fellowship. Really, the music will help us, will help our motivations to focus on the words. It will really motivate, it will play with our emotions and will exhort. We need to remember that worship, it doesn't mean by music, but music will encourage to focus on the lyrics which we are singing. That will stimulate our emotions to sing. So whenever I come to the church, I really enjoy the singing with the congregation. And I really experience that is a foretaste of the glory which I am going to have in the heaven. So I really enjoyed the time of singing. And also, I want to share this with you. Last year, I invited to one church to preach the God's word. So in that church, in the congregational singing time, they are all singing by looking the lyrics at the screen. And I am also joining with them by looking at the screen. On the time, while I'm singing, I just stopped my singing because I faced some lyrics which is controversing the doctrine of Trinity and doctrine of salvation. I just stopped singing. And after the service, I discussed with the pastor. I told him, Pastor, this song is not good, Pastor. Did you understand the meaning of it? I said, oh, is it? I don't understand the meaning of it, he said. So really, I felt very sad. Very sad on the time. Because of many times, we also used to sing the songs without knowing the meaning of it. But the songs means a lot to us. The songs helps a lot. So we need to be focused when we are singing. When we come to the singing time, we need to be always active and to be focused on the lyrics which we are singing. So I will encourage you to do that. I will encourage you to be active while we are singing in the congregational time. This is when you sing like this, it will help you to be filled with the Spirit. It will be help you to be under control of the Spirit, and which we are singing, we should mean it. Otherwise, don't use. It doesn't work to resurrect. So if you don't understand the meaning of it, how it's edify to you and how it's edify others. So we need to think about it. And this is the first mark. And second mark we are going to see from this passage. The second mark of spirit-filled life is rejoicing in the Lord. Second mark of spirit-filled life is rejoicing in the Lord. Look at verse 19. Singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Here we can see that singing and making should be considered as a one unit, since it has a it's at the end between these two words, but is should be considered as a one unit, since it's referring to the one action, which is in your heart to the Lord. So this, according to the verse 19, believers speak to one another in psalms and hymns and the spiritual songs, reminding us, each one of us, what Christ has done in our life as a congregation. But when we come to this, it's more personal. It is singing and making melodies with your heart. It's about talking about our personal, or personal edification. First one is talking about the congregational singing, and this one is talking about the personal singing. So personal edification. This the heart means, your heart means, here we can see your whole being of you, your emotions, your thinking should be always singing and making melodies to the Lord. The Lord also very interesting over here. Lord means one who is having the control and one who is having the complete authority over your life. For Him, you need to make a melodies and sing it to Him. How wonderful, how it's a great privilege that God has given to us. We need to sing and make melodies, one who is having complete authority and the power over our life. And when we sing with our own heart, it will mean a lot to us. We can sing as a congregation without knowing the meaning of it. But when we sing personally, it will help us to mean it, what we are singing. And it is so important to sing personally to the God, because of here one John Piper said it like this: God is glorified not only by His glory being seen, but by its being rejoicing in. So when we rejoice in our hearts, God will glorify. When we rejoice in our heart, what outward, 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 outlook will come. We'll sing and make melodies to the Lord, right? Wherever you are, whatever you do, you will just reflect on the God's glory and the God's goodness in your life. Just used to sing it when we are cooking and when we are traveling, when you are going sometimes. We'll just sing songs to God, right? Is it true to you? Yes. So we'll enjoy the God's presence every moment, by singing to ourselves. I have a habit of writing songs, but I haven't finished even one song. Why? Because I used to write 4 or 5 lines. It depends on the situation which I am facing. Just I will add a tune to the lines which I created it, and I will sing to my own self for my personal edification. But not even I finished one, that is a sad thing. I not even finished one song. But many 4 or 5 lines are there. Please don't ask me to sing it now. So if you sing it now, you won't be here. So my dear brothers and sisters, I will encourage you to write songs. I will encourage you to write songs that will edify to you and to the church also. If you don't have that habit, borrow for someone else. Godly writers. So borrow it and sing it for your own self and the edification of the church. So when you sing to your heart, that will help you to be your focus and your emotions to be always reflect on the Christ's glory and His mercies and His faithfulness in your life. So that will help you to grow in Christ-likeness every moment by moment in your day. That's a good habit we need to be cultivate as a Christians. So it's a mark of a believer. It's a mark of a spirit-filled life. That is the second mark. And the third mark of spirit-filled life that we are going to see from this passage is an attitude of thankfulness. Third mark of spirit-filled life. An attitude of thankfulness. Look at verse 20. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Here, we can see here, if we fill with the Spirit, no matter what is the situation, our heart will be always to an attitude of thankfulness. Here we can see that, verse 19, it's a public thing. It's talking about the public singing. And second one is a private singing. It's a two other act of worship. And also, an attitude of thankfulness is also act of worship. It's an ultimate expression of worship. Thankful, having an attitude of thankful heart. Because when we give thanks, it will come from our heart. It will completely kills our self. It will exalt God, what He has done to you and how you are responding to Him. So this is also great, is the expression of expression of worship, thanksgiving, having the attitude of thanksgiving heart. And here we can see that always giving thanks. Here always means it's always continuously, always no matter what and whenever it is. Always you need to have an attitude of thankfulness. And no matter what is, whether it is difficulty and it is good, where you are in difficulties, when you are happy, you always needs to have a thankful heart, here he said. And Romans chapter 8, 28 said, all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who love God and called according to His purpose. Here we can see that everything will work for good. And everything, it comes from the hand of God. When we understand this, we'll have an attitude of thankfulness. Every situation, in all ways, in all things. All things will have this attitude. We can see one great example in the Bible. Job. He lost everything. Everything he had. But he said, naked I came from my mother's womb. And naked I shall return there. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. How wonderful words he said. He was in the difficult position. He was in the very hard to say thanks in that difficult position. But he said like these words. My dear brothers and sisters, it is very easy to say thanks to God when you have all things, when you are happy, when you are rejoicing in the Lord. But it's very difficult to say thanks to God when you are in difficulties, when you are trials and sufferings. But we should remember that we're not supposed to give any choice to the difficulties and the trials to not to have a thankful attitude towards God. We need to always fill with the heart of thankfulness. If you don't have a heart of thankfulness, what will happen? The complaining attitude will come. Complaining attitude will come. So we need to be careful. When you fill with the Spirit, when you fill with the thinking and the mind of God, when you reflect on Him, you'll be reflect on God. When you know your situation, actually first we are deserve nothing. Everything we have, it's from God's grace. So when we understand this, there are many reasons to give thanks to God. So we need to fill with that Spirit first. So that there is no room in our heart for the blaming God and dishonoring God. The fourth mark that we are going to see a Spirit-filled life is divine order submission. Divine ordered submission. Look at verse 21. And be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. The key verb here, be subject. It literally means to arrange under. For example, in the military, in the army, we can see they will submit to their hierarchy, their higher stage, superior ranks. So like that picture he used to say here, the submissiveness. This submissiveness is not a mutual submission. It's a divine ordered submission. As a Christians, of course, we need to be submit to one another. In the sight of God, we are all are equal. In the sight of God. But there is a one divine order submission which God has placed in us. For example, God only given us the authorities. God only placed some authorities to be ruled and to be work as a system. Things. If we don't have any authorities, if we don't have any hierarchy system, what will be happen? The system will not work, right? So, like that, God only ordained some system to submissive. So that's why we can see in the family system, in the workplace, how we need to be submit to one another. As a Christians, but we need to understand that this submission should be one another in Christ. And our spiritual life, our Christian life also, it's a fight for the spirit-filled life is not a fight for the top, but it's a fight for the bottom. So we need to be always submissive and to be always humble ourselves before our brothers and sisters in Christ. Here, when the Paul's writing, wrote these words, he is not neglecting the submissiveness over here. He is saying that Paul never imagined that the principle of mutual submission, but he is not completely overthrowing the authority also in this when he mentioned this. If he is not mentioned the submissiveness, he would not mention the authority and the order in the family and the workplace, in the authorities. But he is telling that the submissiveness and the authority also should work in Christ with an understanding way. It's not to be unbalanced. It should be balanced. It should be biblical and it should be according to the word. And it should be filled with the Spirit. In the sense, being under control by the Spirit. Being under influence of the Spirit. The fundamental principle in this verse is to be submissive. Submissiveness to one another. And also is given an example of Christ. The reverence of Christ. Submiss to one another in the fear of Christ. In the fear. Fear it means here reverence. Reverence of Christ. We need to respect. We need to submiss to others like Christ. How he humbled himself. We need to humble ourselves to our brothers and sisters. And how he is submissive to the even point to death. We need to have that kind of attitude. Like Christ has said before us, the attitude of this submissiveness. When we see the 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, here it says, encourage one another, build up one another, appreciate those who are over you in the Lord, esteem them highly, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, don't pay back evil for evil, seek what is good for one another and for all people, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. These all those things will that the Spirit will long to see in our lives. These things will not quench our spirit. These things will help to grow in Christlikeness. It will sanctify us in our Christian life. So the divine orderly submission is really the very most important thing in our Christian life. If you think, what will happen when you don't submit to one another? The fightings and the quarrels will come, right? The fightings will come. If you don't want to submit to others in Christ, the fightings and the misunderstandings will come. And will give choice to the fightings in the midst of the brothers and sisters. So, if you do so, we are not under control by the word. We are not living under influence of the word. It is very easy to rule someone or rule over someone, but it is very hard to submissive, to have a submissiveness. Here we can see that when it is possible. Let me tell you, my dear brothers and sisters, when we reflect on the Christ's submission, when we reflect on his great sacrifice on the cross, great work on the cross, he emptied himself and he is taking a form of bond servant and being made in the likeness of men and he is submitted to the even point of death. Like that he humbled himself. We need to submit ourselves like Christ submitted himself. We need to humble ourselves like Christ humbled himself on the cross. Like that, we need to have an attitude of submissiveness in our life. By these four marks of a spiritful life will really help be always influenced by the led by the Spirit and be influenced by the Spirit, under control by the Spirit. If we are not having this in our life, we need to make sure that we are walking by the Spirit, are we filling with the Spirit. We need to make sure it. Last Friday, we celebrated, in the world they celebrated, in India celebrated, the International Yoga Day. Yoga will say, empty yourself. The Bible will say, fill with yourself. So there is a lot of difference here. We are not living to empty ourselves. We are living to fill with the word of God and the influence in our life. So, of course we need to empty sometimes, but for what? We need to empty our old nature in order to fill new nature in our life. But it is not focus of the emptying ourselves. So here, always our Christian life is every minute and every minute and every day, like we've seen. God has given a great opportunity. We need to grow every moment by moment. We need to reflect on Christ. When we reflect on Christ, when we be under control by the Spirit, these marks will be clear in our life, and the Christ likeness will grow in your life. My dear brothers and sisters, are you walking in the Spirit? Are you live a spiritful life? We need to check, are you walking or not? If not, you need to be always be under, come to the word. Christ has revealed himself in the Scripture completely. When we reflect on Christ, it is our greatest motivation to always to live with a spiritful life. When you live, the more you live a spiritful life, the more you will grow in Christ likeness in your life. So this should be your motivation in your Christian life. May God bless this word in our midst. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for your word that really encouraged us to live a spirit-filled life, O Lord. Lord, thank you so much for the many opportunities that you are giving to us. Lord, every day, every minute that you are giving to us so that we may grow in you, O Lord. Lord, please help us, we may use the opportunities properly to be always filled with the Spirit and to be live under control in your word. To be always influenced by you, O Lord. Lord, please help us to build our lives in you, O Lord. Lord, help each and every person here. Lord, they may grow in their life every moment by moment, and they may grow ultimately in your Christ likeness, O Lord. Lord, please, this congregation, to always reflect on you and to build their lives in you, O Lord. Lord, thank you so much for the great love and the great fellowship that you have given in us, in our fellowship, Lord. Lord, thank you so much for the great opportunity given me to preach the word to this church, O Lord. Thank you so much. Bless our congregation and bless our time as we are going to spend some time in you, O Lord. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.